Makamayebazibwe. Everybody say Amina. Makamayebazibwe. Everybody together? Amina. You don't know what you just said, but I said praise the Lord, and you said amen. Amen. And I would say yet again, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a joy it is to be here in LeBron country. Is it? Well, mixed crowd here. Okay. The Indians country. Okay, here we go. Well, I'm a Dodger fan, so we're hoping you guys get past the first round this year. I'm hoping for you. What, man, it's a joy to be here with you guys. My name is Shannon Hurley, and I am a missionary in Uganda. And it's a joy to be here at this time in this church, and I'm excited to be with you. We in Uganda, we have been there 13 years. I decided to move in the middle of a small little village called Kubamitwe. Can you guys say that together? Kubamitwe means hit the head. They used to actually do executions in our village. And we are in what's called the Luwero Triangle. It was a place that has war-torn... It's war-torn because the current president used to have his troops in our village. And we came in there, and we had one goal for our village, and that is to reach it for Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have seen in the last 10 years, God absolutely transform a society. The problems in Africa are spiritual problems. The problems around the world are spiritual problems. And we have the answer to those problems. Amen? And I believe that more today than I have ever believed that in my life. So in Uganda, we have two goals. One is to reach that community for Christ. We have a primary school where we have 350 kids from our community up through sixth grade. Next year, we had seventh grade. The next year after that, eighth grade, and so on and so on, by the grace of God, assuming God continues to provide for us. But you can imagine in a small little community where they'd never get education, we're providing education and we're discipling kids, all of the kids in our community. So it's an incredible opportunity to see impact. And today we have a church in a small little village where people walk. We have a church of 400 people attending where people are standing up in the back. We're getting ready to actually build a whole new building. Someone actually just gave us a ministry matching grant for they gave us $175,000, and they're going to match it dollar for dollar for that church building. And just to show what God is doing. And I didn't ask for it, it just came out of the blue, and so we're rejoicing in the goodness of God. And we have seen God do unbelievable things in Uganda. It's been amazing. We're inviting you, even as a church, invited, come see what God's doing in East Africa. Many of I've said to many that, look, in Africa, church history has not been written. Where in your church history books do you get anything about Africa? Anyone? Nothing. Does God want Africans in heaven? Absolutely, because He wants dancing in heaven. This frozen chosen, you know. And I believe right now God is writing His church history in Africa. And I want to be in the forefront of it. You go back, 80 years ago and people were worshiping idols and their ancestors, and today Christ is known everywhere. Unfortunately, it's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's the Jesus Christ that provides health, wealth, and safety, not the one that came to save people from sin. And I have a Jesus Christ that reigns on high, and it's that Christ that I want them to know. I believe God is moving in Africa in ways that are unprecedented. And that brings us to the second goal that we have in Uganda, and that is to strengthen God's church and create a voice of truth in the country. I work with 1,500 Baptist churches. We've worked that whole denomination throughout the country to strengthen up the existing churches that were all basically highly prosperity gospel churches. And God has moved in their hearts to get the Scripture, Christ on His throne, the Scriptures in the center of those churches, and people are beginning to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. and God in His grace has allowed us to become a leader within this organization. In addition to that, we are now getting ready when I head back. November 9th, we are launching a pastoral training center that is what we trust is going to train up these men fully, as much as possibly we can train them, and then send churches throughout this country to create voices of truth all over the place. And we are thrilled to be a part of this. I am telling you, what God is doing over there is amazing. And it has cost us, in many ways, our lives, and will cost us our lives, because we believe that the Word of God must go out. I remember before I became a missionary, I was in the toy business. I sold like little Shrek animals and stuff like that. I actually didn't get into my story last night with my friends, but I don't know if any of you have ever had an Aflac duck. I just wanted to thank you guys for your support. I provided all of the ducks for Aflac. Believe it or not, Aflac. You know, we love that sound. And before I was went to the ministry, that was what I was doing. I was providing ducks and things like that. The Lord called me to Africa, and I remember when He had called me to go to Africa, I thought to myself, why in the world would I leave this country? Why would I go there? Why when business is so good? And it was for one reason, because the Word of God must go forth. And here I meet a hungry people that need the Word of God, but no one there to teach it. And I said, well, look, I'll go. Send me. And it has been one absolutely crazy journey. It has been so painful, so hard, but so good. And the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Joseph is my God. And God is, despite many trials, God has blessed so richly. And really, we are so blessed right now that we are like overflowing with blessings, and we are just needing God's people to aid us in the mission. I was telling them last night that you take a people on your back. I live in the world that doesn't have, and I am connected with the world that has, and I try and provide a bridge to try and help those in such circumstances, and I am so honored. And my prayer as a ministry is that we would not just do a mission, but we would cause a movement in Africa where the church of God would rise up. The church of God would become equipped. The church of God would proclaim the greatness of God. Amen? And some people say, Shannon, you're a big dreamer. And I would say, well, we serve a big God. Amen? If anything, we as Christians need to dream bigger and bolder, because our God must reign. Which brings me to the message that I have for us this morning. Since I moved to Africa, things in America have just absolutely fallen apart. I'd like to think it's because I left. But it's easy to look out into the world today and think to yourself, what in the world is going on? What's going on? When I left there, boys were boys and girls were girls. I don't know what's happening. Even you look at last week's issues of politics and you can't help but be bewildered. Because by God's grace, and I understand this more than you understand because I live in Africa, God has blessed this country. And He's blessed it because we in many ways have rules and morality that are embedded in the laws of this country. And the benefits that we have are all because of the Judeo-Christian values that are embedded in our law system. We have policemen that don't take bribes because it's wrong. We have a judicial system that sees lying as wrong. Up to this point, anyways. There are laws. There is a morality. And in many ways, we as Christians have been living under the shade of God's rule for a number of generations. Today, quicker than we could have ever imagined. The moral compass in this country is being lost. And we can honestly say that we are living in a day in which everyone is doing right in his own what? In his own eyes. As a church, we are faced with real questions that need to be addressed, that need our consideration. First question, how did we get here? How did we get here? And not only that, but secondly, what is our responsibility as the body of Christ? Well, the passage that I want to draw your attention this morning, I believe, answers these questions. Furthermore, I believe that the question that would be in your minds, a missionary being here, is what are we doing in Uganda? And this passage answers that question as well. Lastly, I would want to say this church I know is championing biblical counseling, and I think this will encourage you as you engage in your mission as counselors. Open your Bible, if you will, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and I want to turn with you to a very familiar passage, the Great Commission. Starting in verse 16. And what I want to do to guide your attention is I want to show you four components of this text. How many components? Four. Show me with your fingers. Ready? You guys are awesome. Four. And I like interacting with the congregation because then I make sure you're not sleeping. Let me read the passage for you. Matthew 28, and this is the word of God spoken to us. The word of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to... All right, I was seeing if I was going to test you to see how intelligent you were, and you passed the test. They proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all, a little louder, all has been given to in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Let's pray together. Father, here is your great declaration. Here is your pronouncement to your disciples, both in that age and in this age here to come, all those that would follow you. Here you are declaring this truth about yourself, and you are declaring the responsibility we have as followers of you. Living God, we ask in your kindness and in your grace that your power, your authority, your spirit would move in our hearts and would engage us to greater devotion, greater awe of you. Lord, that we would stand in awe of your greatness this morning. And we would be overwhelmed with the responsibility we have. And Lord, I pray that you would move in hearts. And those that don't know you would bend the knee to you. Father, we love you and we thank you for this privileged opportunity to open your word. May your spirit aid us in this hour, we pray. Amen. For most of you that know your Bibles or have been around Christianity for a long time, you are well acquainted with this passage. And you think, well, why do I preach a passage you're well acquainted? Well, I think despite your familiarity, that there is a huge element of truth that we have missed. I think in many ways we have missed the glue that holds this whole passage together. And I want to show it to you this morning, and I want to not just show it to you, but I want to proclaim it to you. Because I think that this great commission cannot be understood without understanding the theology behind the great commission. And it will bring life and depth to what we have seen. And I think it will also help aid us. I think many Christians today, I think even if I'm allowed to say, probably many in this room are walking and living our lives with aimlessness. We don't understand how we participate in the great scheme of what God's doing. We go to work and we go home. I, being a businessman for 8 years, I lived watching people who were bored out of their mind, having money and nothing to do with it, and they didn't attach it to their Christianity. They didn't see how they fit within the big scheme of what God is doing, and in many ways, they were, like these disciples, aimless. And when we look at this passage and we set the stage for it, we understand that the disciples of Jesus at this moment are absolutely aimless. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen from the dead. And you have to understand, these men walked and followed Jesus for 3.5 years. At where he went, they went. They would get up and they'd say, "Jesus, where are we going today?" Everywhere he told them to go, they went. Well, they get this great idea, that they get this understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. And this Messiah is going to overthrow the Romans, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and we are going to rule. And how do we know that? It's because they're arguing moments before his death. Can I sit on the right? Can I sit on the right? They thought that they were in a position to benefit. They were in the perfect position for honor. And who knows what the motivations they had were for why they followed Jesus. But we see when Jesus dies, their whole world comes crashing down. And that's why, literally, when he died, after they died, they did not know what to do. What do we do, Lord? Where do we go? And according to John 21, they went fishing. That's awesome. Jesus' disciples were in desperate need of direction. And I would even suggest to you that here Jesus gives not only them direction, but gives all of us direction. Why? Because when he says, "I will be with you even to the ends of the what?" Meaning this message goes beyond these disciples and all the disciples that are to serve God throughout the ages. And in verse 16, we get a few background pieces of information. It says, when the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to a mountain which Jesus had designated, we see that they somehow are directed to a particular mountain. We don't know what mountain that was, but we know that they're given this direction, that go to this mountain in Galilee. And I think what happens here is I think they go to this mountain and they're sitting there and they're waiting. They're waiting to see Christ. And according to this passage, it says that verse 17, when they saw him. I think just to try and envision what's taking place, Jesus is here, the disciples are up there, and Jesus comes up this mountain, and as he's coming up the mountain, what happens? They see him. There he is. And you got to, Jesus is kind of popping in the scene, popping out of the scene, and all of a sudden they appear, and it explains their response. What are the two responses? Verse 17, they what? They worshiped him. But some were doubtful. I love the honesty of the Bible. I love how it's clear. It just doesn't say, oh, that they all believed. No, it says some were doubtful. And they were doubtful because, wait a second, Jesus just rose from the dead. That doesn't happen. I mean, well, how does that happen? They don't know what's going on here. They saw him die. Now all of a sudden he's here, and they're bewildered in their minds. Of course they were doubtful. But others, they knew that Jesus was God. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that whatever took place, that there he is. They had touched him. They'd put their hands in his side and they go, wow. And they knew that the only response to give God was worship, exaltation, to extol him, because this was the Son of the living God. Who knows how the Spirit of God was working in those moments? It's hard to imagine how unbelievably filled with awe they were. As he came, they worshiped him and they just probably fell to their face, began to extol him as the King and Master. And then all of a sudden, I think that this is what takes place. I think the disciples are here. Maybe they're some way up, halfway up the hill. Jesus comes. I think he walks right by them. Turns around. And he stands right there. And when he stands there, he stands and listens to the second component from the background to the declaration. He makes this unbelievable declaration. And that's the second component. We go from the background to the declaration and look and see, or the announcement, whichever you like. Look at the announcement that is made. And my dear friends, you must hear it. You must see it, because this right here is everything. Everything for our lives. Everything as we sang about. This is what it's all about. Look at verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying what? Everyone, say it. Oh, say it with passion. All what? All authority. All authority has been given what? To me. In heaven and on. All, not some, but all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Any authority that's in heaven, it's now mine. Any authority on earth, it's now mine. I am now the King of kings and Lord of lords. This word authority speaks of the right to rule, to be in charge, to have control. Authority is to rule. And Jesus is saying, listen, something has happened since the moment I died till this point. And what has happened is I have now been declared King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. The picture now is I am now the universal King. Profound announcement. Shocking announcement. Listen, I'm not just the King of Israel. I'm the King of all kings. That's what Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, right? Says, for this reason, God highly exalted him. Who highly exalted him? God the Father highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will what? Every knee will what? Every tongue will confess. Whether you're in heaven or on earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, King, Master, owner of it all. To God be the glory. Jesus is declaring that he has now been given the position over all positions. The King and Master of the universe. Oh, dear friends, this is something we must understand. And this shouldn't have been shocking if they understood their Bibles. If they understood Daniel 7:13, this wouldn't have been a shock. But Daniel 7:13 says this. Listen to these words. It was a vision. He says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. Jesus' favorite term was what? Son of Man. So one like the Son of Man is coming. And to him, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and was given and was presented before him. And to him, that is the Son of Man, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. He was given a kingdom that every single individual on the earth might serve him. Amen. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This is what was promised in the past, and it is brought, and Jesus comes and says, now it has happened. I've been made king. There's a rap song that I like. It says, He the King. You guys know that song? I don't like rap either, but my kids. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28 reveal that there is some mystery going on. That the Father gives the Son all authority. And that with this authority, He is to make every knee bow and every tongue confess. And then He's going to take, when every knee bows, He's going to take this kingdom and He's going to turn it back to the Father. Read it for yourself. We are part of a big, glorious, awesome, incredible plan of God. One that I don't understand. But what I do understand is that God is King of Kings. Dear friends, this truth must go beyond our thinking. It must enter into our hearts. It must enter into our minds, because it is this truth that I think for us who are Christians must be on the forefront of our minds. It must be eternally etched within our souls. This truth that God is King must be the compulsion, the driving compulsion of our lives and our ministries. We must have a worldview where God is on His throne. We cannot see the world as we are seeing it. It's not about politics. That's what's happening down here. But above this, there is a king reigning on a throne. There is a master king reigning on a throne who controls everything, who owns everything. Our worldview must begin with God as King on a throne. And this truth must drive everything, and it is a truth that must drive us as church people. And we must pronounce it to the world. There is a universal King in which we must give an account. And this declaration, my dear friends, is the truth behind the Great Commission. You say, Shannon, what do you mean? Well, look with me at the famous passage of verse 19. Go what? Therefore. Listen. Put the word therefore before go. Therefore what? In light of this truth about me, you must now what? Go. Let me just say, when you look at human history and you look at your Bible, this Bible is not just about salvation. The bigger theme of the Bible is kingdom. It's kingdom. My dear friends, this is not about us. This is about Him. Him as the King. And salvation is how we get into that what? Kingdom. How we get into that kingdom. This is all about kingdom. All of life is about kingdom. Whether you acknowledge the King or don't acknowledge the King. That's what it's all about. And He says, listen, in light of the fact that I am now King, because Adam, I am now Lord, now I want you to what? Go. Disciples, don't be aimless any longer. I want you to go. I want you to go. Do something now. Now act. Respond in a particular way, my dear followers. How are they to respond? Well, that brings us to the third piece of instruction. The third piece, which is instruction, the third component. And He tells us exactly how we are to respond. He says, go therefore and what? Make what? Make what? See, Shannon, what's a disciple? Will you tell me? What is a disciple? It's a nice fancy word. You know what a disciple is? Give me another word for it. Ah. You got the picture. Go and make followers. Hold on. I am the king. Go and make what? Ah. The Great Commission is that we are to go into this world and we're to proclaim everywhere that God is the King, God is the King, God is the King, and we are then to call everyone everywhere to what? Follow Him. Follow Him. Because see, God throughout the history of His revelation in that Bible has always wanted man to follow Him. And Adam and Eve in the Bible, in the very beginning, just follow me, obey me, and I'll give you life and joy. Just stay right here. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Stay and follow me and I will what? Give you blessing. They failed. Israel, as a nation, just come. You obey me and I will what? Bless you. If you don't obey me, you will be what? Just come and obey me. Did they work? No. Jesus came to offer Himself to Israel as a king. Israel put their king on a cross. God, throughout human history, is wanting all men to come, acknowledge His supremacy, and follow Him in all areas. And your job is to proclaim in this day and age, no matter how dark it is, that there is a king who rules on a throne. And follow Him. Listen, for your good and for God's glory. He tells us, go and make followers. He commands us to go make servants of Him as King. He calls us to get everyone to bend the knee to King Jesus. That's why He says, and He tells them how to make followers. He gives them participles, right? By first you're to go. It says go. It says therefore make disciples. That's would be the literal translation. Then it gives three participles: go, teach, go, baptize, and what? Teach. That's the three ways you're to do it. How are you to make disciples? How are you to make? Well, go. Go into all the world, all of the nations, and make disciples. That's why I'm in Uganda. Go and then baptize. That is, we understand, we are dying to ourselves and raising to live for who? Christ. Look at the third thing. He says, teaching them to what? Verse 21, look at it. Teaching them to what? Everyone. Teaching them to what? Observe what? Pardon? Observe what? All that I have commanded. Oh, dear friends. Teach them to know what I've commanded? Uh-uh. Teach them to what? Observe all that I have commanded. My dear friends, Jesus is calling us to go into the world and bring everybody under the supremacy of Jesus Christ as King and Lord. I want them not just to hear and know, I want them to observe what? All that I have commanded. I think it needs to be very clear in our day and age that our mission isn't just to give information, but we are to go into all the nations and teach, to baptize and teach that people would observe all that God has commanded. Our calling is not to just get people to say a prayer. He's calling us to change our lives. He's calling us to follow after Him in what? All areas. He's calling us to observe all that He has commanded. To not call people to change their lifestyle is to not understand what this Christianity is all about. And I want to even say to us all here, to be in this room and to call yourself a Christian means that you have surrendered yourself to King Jesus to observe all that he has commanded for your good and his glory. The goal of Sunday morning isn't to get people to laugh, isn't to get people to follow us, and I think it's a tragedy in our day and age, and I think we need to be really careful when it's books about the book, and that's what we're following, instead of the book himself, because there's only one word that is from God, and that is the revelation revealed right here. We got to be careful that we're not following men, but we are following God himself, and that we know this word. And that we get every person everywhere to submit under the supremacy of Jesus Christ. It's been often said that it is so unkind for us to tell people what to do. Well, listen, let me tell you, and a truth that I want you kids to understand is this. God's way is best. Say that with me. God's way is? Best. Say it louder. God's way is? Best. God's way is? Best. So when we go out and we ask people to follow Christ, we're asking them to do what's best. Some people say in our day and age, oh, well, wait a second here, marriage and guy, girl, without home, wait a second, how can you call people to that? Listen, because in our day and age, we want to go the direction of the world. The direction of the world is anarchy. It's everyone doing what's in their own eyes. And today, when morality is left for us to decide, who knows which direction it goes? Well, listen, the church must rise up and we must say, there is a king on his throne. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has told us how to live. He's told us how to live. And when we do it, it's good. Tell your kids it's good. God is not holding good from us. He is giving us and showing us the way that is good. You may not understand it. And there's things I don't understand. I don't understand the ways of guys and girls and roles. I don't understand why he did what he did, but that's what he did, and he's the king, and I'm just submitting under it. Because I know it is what? Good and best. My dear friends, in a day and age in which our world is going crazy, we must call them back to acknowledge Jesus Christ as king. I live in a society that has never known the joy of following Christ. They've never known Christ. Today they know him as a savior that gives them money, and they've seen truth that that's not, they've seen the reality that that's not true. But they have come and they've lived immoral lives, and the end of immorality is pain, sorrow, and regret. They've come and they've seen that. In Uganda, marriage, nobody gets married. You just shack up. Well, when you shack up, he's got his money, she's got her money. They never share that money. There's never security of being in a marriage that works. And that's where we're going in America. And then all of a sudden you produce children. Now what? Whose children are they? Well, technically they're the man's, but he doesn't care for them. The woman's afraid to get too attached because she doesn't know if she's going to be there tomorrow. They start fighting, or he continues to drink and go to bars, and he brings another girl. She gets thrown out. Now what happens to those children? They're thrown out, dropped off at grandma, because that next guy doesn't want that baggage. They've never known. Is that better? Is following the lusts and passions of your flesh better? Listen, look at the television. Look at what's going on. Everyone is following the lusts and passions of their own flesh, and it is leading us into despair, not leading us to joy. They must know King Jesus. They must know God's way, where you get married. And this is what we've been able to tell people. Hey, listen, let me introduce you to the King. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. And let's look at marriage His way. Let's look at marriage the way He's told us to do it. And I want you to love your wife. I want you to get married. Then I want you to love your wife. I want you to serve your wife. I want you to be understanding to your wife. And I want you to be a wife that submits under the leadership of her husband. That actually supports him and helps him. I want you to be a wife the way God's called you to be a wife. And let me, you guys be parents the way God's, you love your children. Cherish them. And all of a sudden, what we're seeing in Africa, we're seeing in our small little village, people could care less about chasing money. Now all of a sudden, families are becoming families. Now all of a sudden, husbands are walking down the road with their wife in their hand instead of 30 feet in front of them because they don't want to be seen with that woman, because if they're seen with that woman, they can't be with another one. We go from insecurity to security. We go from pursuing pleasure to actually loving and caring for each other. And you see the whole family unit come. And now those kids are getting breakfast and not having to climb trees to find their food. Oh, dear friends, let me tell you, let me declare to you, let me pronounce God's way is best. Oh, listen, our hearts must break. Because the world thinks they're going the best way. They are not going the best way. They are leading us to pain and sorrow. There's a reason in Africa you can't trust anyone, because of the fact that you have a society that has no moral standing. They have no king. My dear friends, we have a mission according to Jesus. The mission is to tell the world there is a king. You know, it's really a great opportunity. When I come back to the States and people talk about all the chaos that's going on, I say, you know what? This is what happens when we stop acknowledging Jesus Christ as our king. But you know, when we start following Christ as king, you know what happens? He repairs all of this. Opportunity for the gospel. The gospel message is there's a king and we must all come to submit under him. We cannot submit under him because of our sin problem, right? And so you reveal to them they need to be saved from their sin problem, that Christ might reign in their hearts and lives. But this is the mission that he's called us to, is it not? Get them to observe all that I've commanded for their good and my glory. You see, when I obey God, someone just came to my wife just yesterday. I said, your kids are awesome. And she says, thank you so much. This is what is the result of knowing Christ as King and following after Him. You see, as we have children that honor God and obey Him, it what? We can then point to the King who we follow. Dear friends, this mission is hard in the day and age in which we live. And that brings us to the fourth component, and that is the promise. The promise. He says in verse 20, and behold, or lo, I am with you, what? Even to the end of the age. What sweet words. Jesus says, listen. That's what he says. Behold! And he says this literally in Greek, it would be I myself. I personally will be with you always. All your days I will be with you. I will be with you to the end of this age. That's so sweet. My days in Uganda have been so difficult. When I moved to this society, it was so corrupted and so backward. I had everybody slandering me, saying all kinds of things. And when I went to the rule book and I went to Christ as king and I said, well, I need to love my enemies and to do good to those who persecute me. And what you find is his way's best. I don't get bitter, I get merciful. And you just keep loving them and loving them. The more you love them, the more you win their hearts. And all of a sudden, God allows this ministry to flourish. The first days I got there, I had invested all kinds of money in a ministry, into ministry. And the guy put all the money into an organization with his name on it and said I was a donor. After being there a year, they tried to chase me out of the country. I'm there with all my family. I moved there when I was two. My child was 2 months old. I didn't know what in the world to do. But I knew that God was with me always. And I just remained faithful. Today we have this ministry that God is richly blessing despite me. My dear friends, our mission is so clear. We don't need to be bewildered as to what our responsibility. If anything, we need to be humbled because the world is doing what the world is doing because we have stopped being salt and light. Remember, when light shines, darkness flees. It doesn't grow. If anything, we need to come out more boldly, not arrogantly, not recklessly, but humbly and say, oh, listen, please, let us get back to God's ways. But my friends, I want you to know personally, here today, there is a king reigning on a throne. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want to call you to come and to bend your knee before Christ and let him reign in every area of your life. You say, I have a problem in my marriage. Oh, listen, do everything that Jesus says and you'll be happy. He still offers blessing to those that obey him. Have you come into a relationship with Christ or are you living in rebellion against him? Christianity is everyone who has surrendered themselves to follow King Jesus. May we follow him. Listen, for our good and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments where I can remind